Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hamas has officially agreed to a new ceasefire deal. That's the one proposed by Egyptian and Qatari mediators with the U.S. backing. The plan seems to include a 60-day pause in hostilities, the release of approximately half of the remaining living hostages, and increased humanitarian aid into Gaza. That, amongst other things, Israel hasn't yet publicly replied. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu seems to insist on a complete hostage release deal. To help us understand and assess the likelihood of this deal taking effect or even holding is Eli Cohen. He is a respected journalist and a regular commentator. Good morning, Eli. Thank you for joining us. Do you think that this ceasefire could actually happen?
The ceasefire could happen, for sure. There's a lot of pressure on the Israeli side to do any kind of deal. And, of course, also from the Israeli side, even the side that is opposed to making impossible concessions to Hamas, there's the thought that anything that's on the table that can save another couple people is something that we should take. It becomes more complicated when you look at the greater goals and this whole supposed negotiation, and that is that the
There we go. Now I can hear you. I'm sorry. Carry on. You were saying.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that we have to take a look that this isn't a typical negotiation. When you talk about negotiation between two parties, you know, you try and find some kind of common ground because both parties are willing to step down. Here, it's not symmetrical because Israel, to begin with, didn't want to be in a position like that. And they're negotiating with terrorists who haven't changed their tune and still want the destruction of Israel. And from their perspective, it could take, you know, still many years as long as they continue to chip away at Israel. And right now, the campaign that their friends are waging around the war, the anti-Israel and anti-Semitic campaigns, are, from their perspective, bringing a lot of success to what they want to achieve. You know, they don't have to take into consideration that people on their side are dying, not starving to death, but are undergoing hardship with food and things like that. But they don't care. They have a stated policy, and that's a whole problem with getting into negotiations with groups like that, especially when your mediators are not objective mediators looking for a good solution, but are just basically trying to help Hamas out.
The fact that Israel has demanded that there should be a full deal with all of the hostages being released. This isn't that. This is talking about 10. Surely it's still better because with every hostage release, that balance of power shifts slightly towards Israel because there's less at stake.
No, it's exactly the opposite, actually, Howard. What happens is this, and that's what people don't understand. First of all, we need to clear things up. On one hand, I think that the government has mishandled this whole situation with the hostages from day one. Okay, and they continue with this weaving and bobbing to make mistakes. The second thing is that the ongoing mixture of people who are trying to topple the government together with people who want hostage release is actually causing damage to the whole mechanism for releasing hostages. The reason that Hamas now has changed its tune all of a sudden is only a result of the military pressure that they're putting on by saying that they're going to go into Gaza and take care of Gaza City. That's the only reason. The fact that Gaza is looking from their tunnels and seeing that that there's a lot of pushback from the populace or some of the populace in Israel to not let the government do anything is strengthening them and their demand. So what's going to happen? What's the reason behind a partial release? It doesn't give Israel more leverage. It gives us less because what happens at the end? Let's say that they release half of the hostages now, okay? and not the full deal. That's, by the way, the big mistake. It should be like full deal or nothing. And the reason for that is that they'll release 10 people now, and then they'll have 60 days to continue to regroup and rearm and stockpile their stockpile weapons and explosives that they can use in another 60 days when Israel needs, nevertheless, to continue to finish the job. And then they'll be saying, "Eh, but we have 10 people still alive who were bit there." You know, the people in Israel will again create a big furor together with a lot of with a lot of other parties who aren't interested really in the hostages released as much as toppling the government. And then they'll say, "Okay, you know, for these 10 people, you can't continue to go fighting because of their lives." So the hostages, so the Hamas knows that as long as they continue to have some kind of leverage of people, you know, even if it be two people, that there will be people on the Israel side who will try and keep the army from finishing the job. You know, if we look biblically, even at negotiations done by probably the world's greatest negotiator, okay, who was Abraham, who was negotiating on behalf of evil people, with God, with the Creator, who decided to wipe them out. He also said, "Okay, if I find 10 people, but he didn't continue down to zero because he knew that there's a limit to where you can bargain. Israel probably has gone way beyond where it can to bargain, both insofar as releasing terrorist murderers back into population who history shows have continued to end up murdering more Israelis by continuing this war, which is causing a lot of damage to Israel's image around the world and all that. Again, because of poor pushback propaganda on Israel's side or PR. But all these things together are putting Israel in a bad position. You know, sometimes you need to do what's tough and what's right and finish things up, you know, and not drag and prolong things. And this is exactly what Hamas and being helped by Egypt and Qatar are doing, are helping draw this thing out to continue to weaken Israel from a whole bunch of other directions.
So, in your view, an acceptable ceasefire agreement would mean what?
An acceptable ceasefire agreement is release all of the hostages now in one thing. And that should have been the story from day one. It should have been, hey, you release everybody right now, or all hell's going to break loose, and not partial hell, and not hell that they can use after that to manipulate in an international media that Israel becomes from the attack to the aggressor and to the evil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you think there's any way that Israel could pull this back at this point? Because a tremendous amount of damage has been done to, as you've said, Israel, the way in which Israel has been perhaps allowed itself to be pressured by first the Biden administration, then the EU, France, everybody else getting involved. We saw it with Rafah. We're seeing it with Gaza City. We've seen this. It's the same pattern. It's a rinse and repeat. The whole war, unfortunately, has been a rinse and repeat. What could Israel do now to change it and end the conflict?
I think that the plans have been presented quite a while ago that basically say this. First of all, you need to move all of the civilian population into southern Gaza, into an area that you control, and then an area that you can make sure that they get food and all that, and that it's not going to Hamas. They started doing that, and then again, the previous ceasefire enabled that, and they enabled people to go back, start filtering back to their houses and all that, which caused a bag of, you know, on the ground. You have to take all the civilians, say, "Hey, we want to save your lives. We want to make sure you get have access to food and all that. You all have to move. You've got 1 week. It takes less than that to walk from the north of the strip to the south to be there. Then after that, they have to dismantle everything else that's left there, Gaza City, whatever. Mostly from the air. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd say we've got enough drone technologies that after that happens, you don't need to endanger soldiers' lives looking to tunnels. You can have drones flying that moves, can get taken down by a drone. And we say until Hamas or their representatives wherever say we surrender and we're willing to be shipped out of here to some other country, things will just stay as they are. The international community can put pressure then on Hamas, Qatar, Egypt, whoever, Turkey, to get rid of the terrorists from the strip. And then you can move on to seeing how you can rebuild the Gaza Strip with the right kind of built-in security and this and that for the future. That's it's and
That
the messaging has to just be very simple. We're here to save lives and all that. We're not committing a genocide and we're not trying to act.
Right.
But again, our PR is muddled. Things are taking too
The
long,
messaging
and the
most certainly
dynamics
is. Eli, we do need to leave it there. We need to go to ads, and it is about to go 9 o'clock. Eli Cohen, thank you as always. He is a journalist, a regular commentator on the Middle East, bringing us his perspective.